Now, I have a pop quiz for you, and I know all of you remember the answers to this question. But did any of you remember what I asked you if you had last Sunday? Any of you remember if I asked any of you did not or have one? What was it? A cell phone or a regular phone, right? Well, now I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you used it to call people for the Lord? Now, listen, folks, we got this technology available. Let's use it. Let's use it for His glory to invite our family back together and to share together. Now, does anybody remember who will be preaching next Sunday? Who? Pastor Steve. All right. Now, that's another good reason for us to get on the phone, call people, and encourage them to be here next Sunday to welcome Pastor Steve back home. Would you agree? Can you say yes? Yes, all right, let's do that. Now, I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday in order that we might welcome him back along with the entire family. Now, this morning, again, as we think about pop quiz, what are some of the symbols that are easily recognizable or depict Christianity? What are some of them? Okay, I heard a lot of things at once. What? Fish? The cross? Okay. Does anybody have a pearl? Did anybody ever see a pearl being? Yeah, there's a number of things, but what is the symbol that truly represents Christianity today to most people? What is it? The cross. The cross. So the question is, why the cross? Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. He said, I am determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Remember? Crucified. The question is, well, why the cross? Why is this so important to the Apostle Paul? Why is it so important to the early church and also to you and me today? Because the cross, remember? The cross is the place on which Jesus suffered, bled, and died. That is the place where He shed His precious blood. Now, we just sang two songs dealing with that fact. See, the writer of Hebrews said it this way and states, and according to the law. Now, he is referring back to the Old Testament law. We studied a little of that in Sunday school. In case you missed Sunday school this morning, you missed a study on what we're talking about this morning. That is, who are we here to worship this morning? The Lord Jesus Christ. And our lesson this morning was on Jesus. So if you missed it, you missed Jesus. All right? I want to encourage you to be in Bible study because it says that according to the law, one may almost say that all things are cleansed with the blood. And without shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of the blood, no forgiveness. For you see, it was on the cross that Jesus died. On the cross. Shedding His precious blood for the forgiveness of sin. See, and the cross also represents, and this is very important for us, and this is another part of the study, is that the cross represents the end of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Represents that end. But it's far more than ending the Old Testament requirement. For you see, the cross represents the new covenant established by the Lord Jesus. Now, you see, the Old Testament prophets would prophesy God's word, and they foretold a coming new covenant. You see, they had the covenant that was given back in the earlier part, and now they said there's going to be a new covenant. Now, listen to what Jeremiah says. He said, behold, days are coming. Incidentally, that wasn't Jeremiah who said it. Jeremiah just wrote it down. It was the Lord who said it. It says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not like the old covenant which I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, declares the Lord. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And listen to this. I will be their God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he says, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. What a promise. Now that's the promise of the new covenant that's on its way. Did you hear that? This new covenant that the Lord is going to establish is a personal relationship. How personal was the old covenant? A calf, a goat, a priest? Not very personal. But here what we find, there is the establishment of a personal relationship between God and between us. Isn't that amazing? That God would seek to have a personal relationship with you and me. A personal relationship that is established by a sacrifice. You see, the sacrifice of Jesus. Listen to these words. In Hebrews, it says, but when Christ appears as the high priest of the good things to come, that's your salvation and mine, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And for this reason, he is a mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant. The old is gone, the new has come. See, the Old Testament covenant, the old covenant, was sealed by the shedding of blood. So it is with the new covenant. See, the blood of Jesus is the sealing of the new. Before it was lambs and goats. Very impersonal. Very impersonal. And had to be repeated every year. Every year they had to go and have the same ceremony again. See, the new covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus, of course, whom the Bible says is the Lamb of God. Do you remember when Jesus was walking toward John the Baptist, that John said, look at that man. For behold, here comes the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. See, Jesus is God's Lamb. God's Lamb. See, the time of sacrifice is very personal to God and to you and me. I think we forget that. I really do. I think we look back and we look at the cross and we forget how personal it really was and is. For you see, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was God in Christ. Is that not what the Bible says? He says it's God in Christ. God sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the sacrificial Lamb in your place and mine, to shed his precious blood so that you and I may be forgiven. Isn't that amazing? That he would send his own Son to cleanse you and me? But isn't that what Jesus said of himself? He said, I am come that I may give my life a ransom, that is, a sacrifice for many. That's what Jesus said of himself. Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, shared with his disciples the Passover. And now following the Passover meal, Jesus shared with them as he began what we come together to celebrate as the Lord's Supper. And he did this in a very special way. For what he did was pass around a cup of wine. And then he said this, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Now, I asked you a question. Can there be anything more personal than that? But what did he say? He said, "This is my blood poured out for who? You." That's what he said. And he's saying the same to you and me. See, the death of Jesus on the cross brought an end to the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the system that had been in use for so many years. And by the shedding of his own personal blood, he sealed that new covenant, that new covenant. And the new covenant requires no more sacrifices. No more. That's it. That's it. Listen to what Paul writes in Hebrews again. He said, "But he, that is Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God." Now, that indicates that he's finished with his work, right? He sat down, waiting from that time onward until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. "For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those whom he sanctified." The writer now quotes from the Old Testament promise, and he says, "This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law upon their heart, and into their minds I will write them." He then says, "For their sins," now listen to this, "for their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more." How many of you would like to be able to personally forget everything wrong and sinful you ever did? Wouldn't you? Oh, yes. But the Bible says if we trust in Christ, that's what he does. He forgives and he forgets. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Once for all. Once for all, Jesus did it. See, no need for any more sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. "All to him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus paid it all? See, this is the truth that separates us from all other religion. All other religions. We're separated by this single truth. See, all others require some type of ceremony. It may be an offering of animal sacrifice. You know, some of them even still offer children as a sacrifice. Some wash in a certain river. All kinds of codes of ethics and morality. These being necessary in order to please or to be acceptable to God. That's what they believe. But Christianity clearly teaches that the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross pleased God, pleased him, and that his blood was sufficient for the cleansing of all sin. How many of us would just like to have part of it forgiven? Jesus does not do part-time jobs. His is full, full. He cleanses to the uttermost. See, we please God. We please him and become acceptable to him by accepting and by believing what Jesus did on the cross. That's how we become acceptable to God, not by what we do. You see, the standard of God is absolute perfection. And we can only reach that standard through Jesus. Only through Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. only through him. You see, we confess our sin. We confess our sin. And we accept his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, not ours. He then cleanses us by his precious blood. And he alone can reconcile us to God. Only he. See, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus says. See, and Peter echoes these same words when he says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, when he died on the cross, shedding his precious blood to cover your sin, and mine, he opened the door. Oh, no. More than that, he became the door. Isn't that what he said? I am the door to our Heavenly Father. Jesus truly did pay it all. You see, we share this morning the Lord's Supper to remember and to thank God for what he did in Christ for us, what he did for us. Now listen, and listen closely. Only those who have personally come to God through Christ can appreciate this moment. Only those who have come to God in Christ can appreciate this moment, this time of remembering the amazing love and grace of God displayed in Jesus on the cross. Only those who are part of the family of God. Did you know that? Only those who are part of the family of God, only those who have been cleansed by his precious blood can come, or who will come and bow in humble adoration and love, sharing the table of the Lord. Only those who are part of the family. Acknowledging the fact that truly Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. The question for all of us is, am I a part of the family of God? Have I been washed in the blood of Jesus? If you have not been washed in his blood, if you have not come to the place where you recognize that you're a sinner, you say, well, what's a sinner? Somebody who kills somebody? Yes, certainly. Somebody who robs? Yes, certainly. Also, having thoughts that are not right. Lying, cheating, anything that displeases God is sin. So what must I do? I must repent, and I must accept his forgiveness and turn from my sin. That's what the Bible teaches. But what about me? You say, I'm a Christian. I've been in church many years. I trusted Christ long ago. We're coming to the Lord's table. But there have been things in my life that I know are not right. Listen to what the writer of Psalm 139 says, and let's take this to heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful, some translations say wicked, sinful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We're going to have a moment of invitation, and we're going to sing that little chorus, are you the family of God? And we're going to give you an opportunity. If you've never yet trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now is the time to open up your heart and let him bathe you in the precious blood of Calvary.